This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. So, you have a treat this morning. I want to introduce you to my favorite Minnesotan. Many of you will know Molly either because she works in the office as one of our finance people, so she might have paid your expenses, or you might have seen her art, or read her art, or you might have gone to the group that Max and she led, a wonderful group. We love Max and Molly. They're a wonderful part of this church, and she's a great teacher, so you're going to enjoy this. Let me pray for her. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you minister to us in worship and in words of knowledge and in all sorts of ways. And I pray that you will bless Molly now with a word for us in season, and that this may be something that takes root in our lives, truth that changes us. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. Would you bless her with your peace? Amen.
Amen. Cool. Good morning. Has everyone got one of these sheets? I think my lovely assistants are handing them out. So if you haven't got one at the back, do put a hand up. Also, if you haven't got a Bible, please stick your hand up and the welcome team will come around and give one to you. If you've not got your own Bible, this can be yours. You can take it and read it if you want. Also, this year, we're looking at the book of Mark, which is one of the Gospels. And so they've got little marks for you if you want to take one of those and have them as well. If you're not sure where Mark is, it's in the New Testament. You can use the table of contents to help you find it in your Bible. I've been thinking a lot about leaders recently, different ones and how I've related to them. My dad, leader of the family, leader of a small business, I had a really difficult relationship with him. And since he passed away when I was 17, I really wish that I could have another chance. When I was in marching band as a teenager, I played trumpet and mellophone, which is marching French horn, the best instruments. And we had drum majors, which were the people that conducted the marching band. They were the leaders of our band. They were my peers. They were my friends. They were fair and kind to everyone, and they did a really good job. They definitely won us some awards. Yep, Eastview Lightning Marching Band is good stuff. my degree is in secondary education, teaching English, and through lots of miscommunication and some negatives between myself and the leader of the classroom, the teacher I was meant to be learning from, my student teaching experience helped me realize that I wouldn't be a teacher in a classroom. I am on staff here, like David said, at Leeds Vineyard, and I have been for about 5 years. When David Flowers first talked to me about the job, I was unsure that I could do it, but he said he was sure I could do it, so I was like, okay. And looking back at how far I've come, how much I've learned, how much support that I've had, he was right. How do you feel about people in leadership? Our relationships with leaders will definitely impact how we relate to Jesus as the leader. Mark is a biography, one of the four Gospels about Jesus. Like I said, we were focusing as a church on that specifically this year, that Gospel. And when I was thinking about preparing for today, in chapter 1, I didn't get very far in Mark, I was looking at how Jesus chose his first disciples. And I wondered how they viewed Jesus. I wondered what on earth compelled these guys to give up everything, to leave their families, drop their jobs, and follow this man. I wondered what Jesus' tone was, his facial expressions, In Mark, it says how he chose these guys in boats. He called out to them, "Follow me." And they did immediately. They dropped their nets. They left their families. They left their jobs. Why did they do that? Why? So this concept of Jesus calling his first disciples, I wanted to share with you what I'm learning about that. And I hope that it whets your appetite to carry on learning a bit more about this wherever you're at as well. So if you haven't already, turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Please do that now, and I will read that for us. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Come, Holy Spirit. We know that you are here. Thank you for your presence. Increase your awareness to what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. Thank you so much for the truth of your word. Jesus, meet with us in this place. Teach us who you are as the leader. In your name, amen. Mark is a really interesting one of the Gospels, I think. It's written especially for people who weren't present with Jesus and to personally witness all of the cool things that happened. So much of this book is emphasizing the miracles that Jesus did so that those of us who weren't there, like us, can see an example after example of what Jesus did, and then we could understand more of who he is in that really quick succession. So I've set out to take us through today three main points, each with a couple of parts. The question to answer is, who is Jesus? He is someone to follow. We can see that Jesus is a leader because he's authorized, and you and I are chosen by him. We can see that he is a leader because he's compelling, and you and I are called by him. And finally, that he is not just a leader, but he is the leader, and I'm following him, and you can follow him too. So that notes sheet is there for you to use to take notes so you can reflect on it later on. Now, what provoked the disciples to respond to Jesus and to start following him, I think comes down to the fact of Jesus' authority. Jesus was raised according to Jewish tradition, which probably meant that from about the time he could speak, his parents were teaching him simple prayers and stories from the scriptures. And as he grew older, he would have been memorizing scripture and learning how to discuss it while also learning a trade from his father, which in this case with Jesus was carpentry. And then eventually he was really demonstrating his understanding of the scripture. And so according to the Jewish educational tradition, around the time of about 30 years old, the elder rabbis decided that he could be given more responsibility and authority to not only just teach the law, but to also offer new interpretations of it and present that to people. Throughout each of the four Gospels, we can see that Jesus has the respect of those around him, his disciples, people in the streets, Pharisees, Sadducees, all call him Rabbi. This is a name that was a sign of respect given to him as their teacher. And it wasn't just men, though, that gave him authority. Before he even started his ministry, we can read just before the bit I read aloud, that Jesus was baptized and received authority from God. Mark 1, verses 10 and 11 says, "As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased.'" Jesus shows this authority by offering forgiveness of sins. He speaks the word with authority, but then he also demonstrates it with works. So we can see that Jesus is authorized by God and men. I am chosen. When I say I mean I, Molly, am chosen. You are chosen. So you would say, I, Hannah, am chosen. I, Alex, am chosen. So write your name in the little blank so you can remember. In this scene, we read that Jesus, with all of the authority, he chose the disciples to follow him. Now, I've taken this for granted, just kind of one of those stories you sort of read quick through the beginning. I didn't really understand it. But now that I've discovered what it meant for Jesus to actually be authorized and the implications of that, I'm beginning to understand what it meant then for the disciples and for me and for you to be chosen by God. What Jesus is doing here is totally backward from what the norm was for a rabbi or the teacher of the time. Usually, a young Jewish man would begin to hang around the rabbi they wanted to learn from, and then that rabbi might take him under his wing. When Jesus chooses the disciples, he's saying that he believes that they can learn from him. Because they're fishermen, they're doing a trade that they learned from their family. So they weren't educated enough to be studying the scriptures in a way that progressed them onward to teach it to others. And according to the academic world, they didn't have what it took. So when this man, Jesus, who practices what he preaches with authority from God and men, and comes along and says, "Come follow me, you have what it takes," these young men acted immediately. And this was a big deal. It was an opportunity of a lifetime for men who wouldn't have normally had that opportunity. And that's why they dropped their nets and immediately followed him. So you might be saying, okay, yeah, that was disciples. That was a long time ago. What about me? Jesus has chosen you. In John 3:16, one of the most quoted verses of the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And then in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, we read that the Holy Spirit came on the people. Verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39, "The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off," that's us, "for all whom the Lord our God will call." In Acts 2:17, Peter quotes from the Old Testament book of Joel, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." From the moment of Pentecost, having access to the Holy Spirit, it's the beginning of a time in which all of us are chosen by God and all of us are called by him. This isn't back in our school days waiting to be picked for the team. Jesus has already chosen you. He's already chosen me. And it's up to you to recognize it, to accept it, and to trust and obey Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, who has authority to choose you to follow him. Jesus is authorized. I am chosen. Jesus is compelling. I'm called. When I read this story, I pictured Jesus kind of floating along with white robes and preaching the good news and casually calling out, "Hey, you, come follow me." And I think there must have been something else going on that really compelled Andrew and James and Simon and John to give them the feeling that they wanted to actually follow him. And I think that this is because Jesus was compelling. In the second of the letters to the Corinthians, we're told that Christ's love compels us. 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. Mark 1 verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is God. So Jesus is the embodiment of love. Love called the disciples. Love is calling you, and love is calling me. The word compelled is defined as evoking interest, admiration, demanding attention. With Jesus' authority from God, he was compelling in what and how he taught. Slightly after the bit of Mark that we read in verse 22, it says, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of law. Because of Jesus' authority, he could go beyond teaching what the law said. He raised the standards, and then this challenged people to go beyond the norm. And this challenge in itself was compelling. It intrigued people to listen to him and ultimately to follow him, thus allowing him to change their hearts, change our hearts and our lives. When Jesus called the disciples, he didn't share the game plan with them and have them take some time to think about it. He just said, come. I can personally attest to feeling called by God to do something even though I didn't know the full story. A couple of years or so ago, I felt like I was meant to quit one of my jobs so that I could write and paint. Now, I've always enjoyed doing these things, so that was exciting, but on the outside, I thought it looked really like a dumb idea because it was really helpful having this job. It's comfortable, could pay the bills, it was good, I liked it. I mean, I was making coffee, so it's good. It's fun, like doing that. But I felt that it was too strong of a call to dismiss. And so for the past few years then, since then, I've not really known where I would go or what I would do with my creative stuff. But even without the income from that job, we, Max and I, were never wanting for anything. And so many things happened to stomp out a lie that had been spoken over me that I would be a starving artist. God is so cool. Just having a little moment here, you get to be part of it. We got given so much food during that time. We were invited to so many people's houses for tea. I was given a couple of shopping bags full of leftovers after one of the picnics at church. And once someone else, compelled by God's love, felt they were meant to go around the supermarket and buy us a huge box of fancy food because God wanted to teach me to show me how much he loves me. That he was so faithful in how he provides for me and everything that I need, but then he also gives me special treats as well. So I can't see my notes. Also, I've met really cool people that have really encouraged me in my creativity and my writing and my art. It's been awesome. Now, in talking about the disciples here in Mark, and how they've responded to Jesus' call in their life, we can see that they responded without delay, even though they had no idea what lay ahead of them. Matthew Henry's commentary says on this that those whom Christ calls must leave all to follow him, and by his grace, he makes them willing to do so. Not only was Jesus God, a man of authority who taught the scriptures in a way that compelled people by his love to pay attention, but he inspires people to rise up and respond when he chooses them and to keep moving them forward toward him. And by his grace, we can rise to his call. In the daily devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers writes that once we arise, immediately we find he, God, is there. Whenever God gives us inspiration, like the grace that Matthew Henry was saying about, suddenly taking the initiative becomes a moral issue, a matter of obedience. I think it's okay to not understand and to be asking God why throughout the process. Jesus, the respected rabbi with authority, chose the disciples. He chose you, and he chose me to follow him. He's telling us that he knows that we have what it takes, that we have the ability and the commitment to become like him. And when he calls us, it will always be to amazing things. But we can't recognize just how amazing it is until we actually respond. Jesus is compelling, and I am called. Remember to write your name on the notes. You are called. Jesus isn't just someone to follow. He's not even just a leader. But Jesus is the leader, and I'm following him. Disciples of any rabbi in biblical times, including Jesus' disciples, would learn from their rabbi. They wouldn't want to know how to get good grades or pass the test of life, but they would listen and watch and imitate their rabbi. They wanted to be like him. They positioned themselves so that they could be around him and become like him. In preparing for today, a silly song from Peter Pan kept going around in my head. You might know it. We're following the leader, the leader, the leader. We're following the leader wherever he might go. Now, that's kind of a mindless pursuit that they were doing in Peter Pan. It was just for fun. But following Jesus is a conscious decision to make every day. It's really easy to forget, and we have to make an effort to remember. And that's why I've put these sheets down, so you can take notes to remember them later on about who Jesus is and who you are to him. There's a scene that really interests me in the life and ministry of Jesus that I want to learn more about beyond what I'll briefly mention just now. It's in John chapter 6. Jesus is teaching how he's from heaven. And some of the people who had been following him start to complain and grumble and say, isn't that Joseph's son? He's saying he's from heaven. I don't get that. And then Jesus is saying that the only way to be satisfied is to eat Jesus' flesh and to drink Jesus' blood. That was a bit much for some of the people listening. Jesus is talking about coming from heaven and about cannibalism as the way forward. Verse 66 says that from this point, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus challenged their ways of thinking, and they were offended. Jesus is the leader, and he gives us things to challenge us so that things can be removed from our lives that keep us from him. In the next couple of verses, Jesus says, you don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. I stand before you today as a woman who knows that I am chosen by God. I am called by him, and I am following Jesus. There's a lot of stuff I don't understand, but I know who he is. I know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. He is love, and his love is drawing me in. Some of you may know that I'm at another point in my life where God is calling me to respond, to trust him and obey even though I don't understand. My husband and I are moving to the States, where I'm from and where we met. It's been several years of thinking about it and a roller coaster of what's felt like a bunch of false starts. But through all of this, I have made a conscious decision to follow Jesus. When I look back on my life, I can see where God has taken me. I can see his perfect track record, that he is who he says he is in my life. And I still feel so much like the disciples at this point. I don't get what Jesus is doing, Max and I have sold, given away, donated much of our stuff. There are many of you in here who might now own things that we used to. I'm leaving jobs that I love. I'm leaving a vibrant and growing creative community in Leeds and Yorkshire. I'm leaving this amazing church, Leeds Vineyard, who have been my family for about 6 years. I'm leaving my friends. I'm leaving my family. This is not easy. I've had so many words with God about this, about how there's a lot of really exciting stuff coming up here in Leeds, at Leeds Vineyards, and in this community, and I'm really upset that I'm missing out. But Duluth is amazing. Duluth, Minnesota is where we're headed, and I'm excited about that, but I still have said, God, you better have something flipping amazing coming up, because it's so good here. And even more, I feel like he said I'm not allowed to plan what my life might look like. So I can't even give you like a picture of what it might look like, what Max and I might be doing, because I'm just meant to trust him, which is hard. But he's doing stuff I don't know about, and I am compelled by God's love, and I'm going to go wherever he leads me to go. Because he is good, and I have learned that he leads those who follow him to amazing, amazing goodness and adventure. He is trustworthy, and he is love. He has chosen me, he has called me, and I am following him. But like the disciples, even in my lack of understanding, I too am saying, where on earth would I go? I've been around you, Jesus, for far too long. Can't do anything but follow you. I know who you are, Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through Jesus leading the way. Jesus is the leader, and he's letting all of us know that we can be following him. Now, this idea of following Jesus may be new to you, or it might be old. But either way, I think that many of you are feeling something inside of you prompting you. Maybe your heart is beating faster. Let's stand and pray. You might recognize St. Francis de Sales' prayer from the Month of Prayer and Fasting booklet that we just used last month. And as it's on the screen, let's declare it aloud together. Lord, I am yours. I must belong to no one but you. My soul is yours and must live only by you. My will is yours and must love only for you. I must love you as my first cause, since I am for you. I must love you as my end and rest, since I am for you. I must love you more than my own being, since my being subsists by you. I must love you more than myself, since I am all yours and all in you. Amen. There's a lot going on right now and during worship. God is speaking to so many of us in so many different ways. So come up to the front. We'll get someone to pray for you, to stand with you as you take a brave step toward following Jesus. If you're specifically wanting to respond to anything that I've been speaking about, then if you don't mind just coming up and standing in that section over there. But if there's anything else, come up to the front. There's words at the beginning that Liz shared about four different types of people. And if that's something for you, that's for you. Come up. Also, our God is a God of healing, and he is the healer as well. And feels like there's people that have colds, have internal problems, have breakages somewhere in their body, or even mental illness. And that's for you to respond to as well. God wants to heal you and meet with you. He wants to love on you. So please, can you just come up and immediately, like the disciples? So come on. Come on, guys. I know there's a bunch of you. So please come up. This is about as formal of an ending as we're going to have. Make sure that you do collect children from your groups. But please, please, please do not leave today without having someone pray for you through what's God doing in you. Okay. Yeah, great. Thanks.
Hello. Normally, you would find me standing behind people, trying not to be noticed. This morning, I've been chosen, and I'm authorized to say this. I'm not going to apologize to anybody. If you saw me shaking, bending, crying, grunting like a pig. Twice last week, I had the opportunity to share my testimony. Once with a group who was on their first steps in their walk of faith, and once with a group who were well down that path. And I'm going to stand by and tell you what I told them the day that I walked into Moortown Baptist Church, because my life was a mess, was the day that I saved my life. I feel blessed, and I just want to say, come now and save your life this morning.
So we need some people to come and pray for these guys. So you know who you are. You're the ministry team in this church, so come and pray. If they want to tell you what's going on, they will. If they don't, they won't. Just ask the Holy Spirit to come and bless them. Would you like to go take Paul down that side? Come down this side. Sasha, come down this side, just because there's more room down there. Keep going. I need some more people to come and pray, male and female. As Molly said, that's about as formal an ending as we're going to get. So if you have children, please go and collect them. If you'd like us to pray for you, please don't leave without us praying for you. Don't take this opportunity to have somebody lay hands on you and bless you. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today.